This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442. To visit our websites, they are cbcg.org and biblicaltruthministries.org. Now, I want to give you an update on the Bible Project and tell you a little bit about, expand a little bit beyond what I did at the conference. Now, as I mentioned at the conference, we're coming close to finalizing things for the Bible Project. And Dolores was the one, after we went through the different leather covers and other covers on the Bible, she's the one who said, well, what about lambskin? So I said, hey, that's a good idea. So I got in touch with them by email and asked them, what about lambskin? What is the availability of it? Because they were thinking of cowhide, and they would have to import that from North Korea down, not North Korea, but South Korea down to China to be able to make the covers. And also we had an option from the other one of pigskin. So the lambskin that we passed around here, you can see, is very, very nice, very supple, very smooth. And also, when they had the billows for the organs, the billows, they were made of lambskin because they would last for 30 years. So I sent them off an email asking about the lambskin and so forth. And so they sent the samples, which I showed there at the conference and here also. So we pretty well have it down now. So let me read you the latest memos that we have from Don Junovich, or Junovich, because I think you pronounce the W with a V. And he says, this is Friday, May 18th. Dear Fred, please see the two attachments and open and print for your review. So I did that. The final cost to you include the highest quality paper, French Bible paper, which we had samples of it printed, and it came out very good. It didn't have the shadow through that we thought it may have, even on the dark areas of solid black on the back side. And he said here, continuing, and the same for the domestic lambskin, China, so they can get the lambskin in China. The variable cost due to natural selection of the leathers will take about the same time, up to 60 days, so they need a 60-day lead time to order the paper and get it there, and same way with the lambskin covers. Both are the best available for making your Bible, and we will upgrade the vinyl material to be more like leather and eliminate the smell that you disliked. The original budget that we quoted you was slightly less than $100,000 for 7,000 leather and 3,000 vinyl for a total quantity of 10,000. The leather covers were bonded leather, medium quality, that is on the samples that they sent, and the Bible paper was middle quality as well. Now, our production, including shipping to the Port of Oakland, California, has come in at a total cost of $136,200. Comparison. The first price we gave to you with through Bob Ellsworth, with no direct input from you, we quoted from a standard Bible with normal bonded leather to paperback, which is normal. Most U.S. buyers ask for the lowest price first. Your questions are the opposite in many ways. You want a very elegant look and feel to reward those on your mailing list. You will be making a fine-looking and very long-life Bible. Oh, he gives us some of the other instructions in there. So it says, Let us know when you're ready to place the order so we can provide the merchants ample time to source the best lambskins and the time to receive the Bible paper. Now, here's that is in answer to what I sent him. So here's the memo that I sent him, and then I'll read you the last memo that I sent him here in just a minute. So I said, thank you for sending the printed samples of the French Bible paper. It looks very good, and the shadow see-through printing from the opposite side was minimal. Even with full dark printed areas, it did not impact the opposite side. His answer, we want to be sure you receive what you want for this Bible. Then I told him we're close to selecting them for the company to do it. He said, thank you. He said, the lambskins are samples from China. They got them from Role Model Handling and Accessory Company. And then it's all in Chinese, the rest, and I can't read that. But as you felt and saw, this is very, very high quality. And he says, I told him, we like the heavier number one sample, which is this one here. And we had some questions concerning the durability of lambskin as compared to pigskin. He said lambskin is much more durable. So then he says, then I asked him about gold stamping on the lambskin. And he said, same as any leather in general, the gold foil is hot dye stamped on the surface. Larger type is better, longer lasting. Then I asked him, what is the comparison between the two leathers, because the other fellow from the broker, Mark West was his name, who sent that 928-page New Testament, dummy New Testament. The leather on that was pigskin. So this is where I came up with pigskin, because we didn't know which one we're going to go with in order to get it done. So I asked him, what is the cost comparison between lambskin and pigskin? He said, the best way to answer the question is this. It is 45 cents cheaper to use pigskin per book. Well, that's nominal cost. See, that's nominal cost. But since we are using skins and cutting out large pieces to cover, to make sure the cover is full, and the spines as well, there will be a lot of waste involved. We have no way to really know the cutout since each animal skin is different shape and texture. Then I said, we are ready to for you to work up a full quote, which he says he would do. Then he said he's going to send some more vinyl samples and so forth. Then I told him we'll send complete PDF files, black print throughout, 1,400 pages, and he says we need 60 days for the paper to be delivered after the deposit is received. Then here's what I ask for. I ask for triple binding, smice-stitched, which is what you have on most hardback books. End stitching. Now, remember I showed you the end stitching with the glue? So I said end stitching and backer glue to the spine area. So they said they're going to do it that way. So we have a binding, which is going to last for a long time, and we have a cover, which is going to last for a long time, and we have the high-grade French Bible paper, which also will last for a long time. See, this glue is flexible glue, so you can open it and it will lay flat. You know, like the sample I showed you here. Yeah. So he says, recommend lambskin for quality and supply in skins. Discourage using pig skins, for they do crack and have problems with cracking and being marked up very easily. Okay, so I got the quote. So here's the quote. Gives the size of it and so forth, and it gives 1,400 pages and what we need there. Black ink, gold gilding on three sides, round corners, on the face of the Bible, two markers, one red, one black. It would be put into poly bags, put into cartons, placed on the wood pallets for shipping, and the cost they give to us is the cost of shipping included in the price to Oakland, California. So he says 7,000 leather bound, 3,000 vinyl, and zero cost for underrun and 5% billable for overruns, and I hope we get an overrun. Okay. However, we have to pay the custom fees. Now, I don't know how the custom fees run. It's not like a tariff, so we have a call in to C-Modal, where we shipped overseas before through them, to find out what the custom cost will be. So I don't think it will be exorbitant. So they have here 7,000 copies with lambskin, U.S. dollars, $97,720 or $13.96 a book. So we're going to be looking, if we pay $3 a book, we're going to be looking at essentially $17 a book delivered. Of course, with that cost, not just the manufacturing cost. That doesn't count all the time everybody's put in on it and everything going down through time. But anyway, then 3,000 copies. Now, here's where we need to make a decision on it. 3,000 copies vinyl, $38,480 or $12.83 a piece. And the difference is $1.13. So I don't think it's worth it for the vinyl myself. However, we have been giving the New Testament in its original order through York Publishing to those who are in jail. We have quite a few write-ins, and if we start sending out 100% leather, then we're just going to be inundated and everything swooped up, because this Bible, if it were sold say at Christian Book Distributors, CBD, it would sell for over $150 a piece, maybe more, like $179, $189 with the lambskin, maybe pushing $200 a copy. Printed in the U.S., the New Testament, combination hard and soft, it cost us, for 5,000 copies, it cost us right at $60,000. So we were $12 a copy on that. For the giveaway in prison, we probably should go straight paperback without any vinyl on it, and say do the 3,000 copies with just the paperback, do an artist's design on it and do it that way. That may be the best, because we can't send them free to those in jail. They would see the quality of it, and you'd have 10,000 requests and nothing flat. So the grand total would be $136,200. So they want 50% deposit at order date, balance due at receipt of advance cartons. Now, guess how long it's going to take to print this from the day that they get everything ready to go? 18 to 22 days, final book, packed and ready to send. 14 to 17 days, shipping to port. So these dates that I just quoted are once they have everything there, they can go on it. So, hey, that's a fast turnaround. See, even with Thompson Shore, it takes 4 weeks by the time just to go through their company to get the book we did on the feast, God's Plan Revealed by a Sabbath and the Holy Days. So here's my answer back to them, which I sent yesterday on May 18th, because you see, remember, their May 18th is a day ahead of ours. So I said, "Dear Don, thank you for the bid and for the information about the pigskin. Because of the poor quality and cracking, we will not consider pigskin for the cover. We desire to use the thicker lambskin, which is sample number one on the sample card you sent to me. We will not consider the thinner lambskin. I have a question. What is the 22 zero GSM craft paper board. Doesn't that make it bonded leather instead of 100% leather? We do not desire bonded leather, as it is only good as the paper glued to it. We desire 100% thick lambskin cover. Perhaps the black end paper could be thicker instead of the 220 GSM craft paper. If we can solve this issue, we will select your proposal and sign the contract on or before June 15th. However, we need a 90-day lead time to finish the body of the text, and they need 60 days to get the material there, so that'll be very compatible, which then means we have September 15th final to get it done. Okay, there we go. Someone mentioned back there at the conference, well, if they were after you in the past, think what they're going to be after you for in the future because of daring to do a Bible. Other churches of God. But the truth is, many ministers and other churches of God use the New Testament. Use the New Testament, yes. One leader of one church ordered it through someone else because they told me that they got it for him. So we'll just have to see how it turns out. But anyway, as I mentioned before, I'll mention again that I'm not doing this to make money. I'm not doing this to pump myself up. It's a project we're all doing and we're all involved in, and I happen to be at this end putting it together. Okay. And it was said that in worldwide they couldn't do it because there were too many politics and everyone would be fighting back and forth and they would never get anything done, which was probably a true statement. Now, as I mentioned before, this is going to be a unique Bible because it will be the only English Bible and perhaps the only Bible in the world that has the Old and New Testament in their original orders, and explain why the Old Testament and New Testament go together. And with the original order of both, then you can see the unity of the Old Testament and the New Testament. So this is going to be very beneficial from that point of view. And also, you have to have a situation where whoever, and I think about this and pray about it every day, as I mentioned before, I pray every day that God will not let me do anything presumptuous with it. But some people will say even doing it's presumptuous. Well, we'll wait and see what happens. But you have to have, this is why committees can only be as good as the worst of the minority on the committee. Because committees, by their nature, in order to produce something, must come to a consensus, which means there must be compromise. So the only way to get it done is to do it according to the truth of God, according to the truth of the original, as led by the Holy Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of truth, to produce a Bible for our age for the people in the Church of God. Now, that's not to say we're not concerned with people in the world. But it's essentially, the Bible was essentially originally written for the people of God for the Old Testament and for the people of God for the New Testament. It is not written for the world except as a witness to them. So we need to understand that. So this is the whole desire, that the brethren can know the truth. Now, I have another book that I'm reading. I read books all the time. And this one is called Lost Spiritual Worlds, which I'll give some sermons on. Written by a woman, which is essentially this. Dive into the abyss of the lost spiritual worlds of the past, which include Hinduism, Buddhism, all of the other demonic religions of the past, and you come up with nothing but love. So give me a chance to go through it. I'll probably do some on video so you can see what the book looks like. But in this age, we have been confronted with so many bad translations, false translations, just abject translations. And by the way, this, I forget her first name, but her last name is Rim, R-I-M-M. And guess whose New Testament that she uses as a springboard into her demonism? She herself is Jewish. She uses the Jesus Seminar translation put out by the scholars of Jesus Seminar, led by Robert Funk and all of his others. So this is essentially a paganized Jewish approach to God, using all the religions of the world. Okay, let's come to Mark 13 for just a minute. Now, I was reading, I forget exactly where it was, where I was reading it, but the Word of God has been made available to all people in the world except, now, consider the 6 or 7 billion that are on earth today. It's been made available in all languages with the exception of 400 million people. Now that is a witness. Consider what the King James Bible has done and the English Bibles in general have done. And that's why Satan had to get into the translating committees to compromise them and change it, because if you can't stop it, you pervert it. And this is what Satan has done. But nevertheless, let's come here to Mark 13 and let's see what this says about the gospel. Verse 10. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. Now it says in other places, preached. But in order to preach it, you have to have it published, right? Yes. Published in all nations. Has God fulfilled that? Is he continuing to fulfill it? Yes, indeed. So what we are doing is to maintain the truth of the Bible in English for the people of God. And most of the people of God are English speaking. That's just the way that the world is today. So, yes, those things are being done. Now, it's also going to help eliminate a lot of the problematic scriptures and misunderstandings, see, because the whole Bible will be printed on 1,150-some-odd pages. But we're going to have 1,400 pages, which means we're going to have some commentary in there. And we're going to have many of the appendices that are currently in the New Testament in there. So we'll have an explanation all about this Bible, and then we will have part of it which will be what is the original order and why was it that way and who canonized it. Now you'll be getting a tape, who canonized the Bible? And one thing I want to make clear, the Bible is not Jewish. Old Testament or New Testament, the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, were canonized, number one, by Ezra, a priest of God for the Old Testament, and John, who was of the priestly line, who did the New Testament. So it is a Levitical book. Comment was made, Malachi came after him. That is true, but Ezra set up the great synagogue, or the Sopharim, and the Sopharim were who? They were the Levites and priests. See? Now, in going through and doing this rendition of the Old Testament, you see all the way through it, unto this day, unto this day, unto this day. So what we are dealing with, we're dealing with things that are important, which shows how the Bible was put together. Now let's come here. Let's come to 2 Samuel, the 8th chapter, and let's see something here which is important for us to understand. The Levites were always scribes and recorders of history. Now, as I mentioned on the tape, who canonized the Bible? The original writer, beginning with the law, was Moses. And he was from the tribe of Levi. And he was greater than a high priest because he was also a mediator. Now, let's see what David did when he set up everything officially. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 15. 2 Samuel 8 and verse 15. And David reigned over all Israel, and David executed judgment and justice unto all his people. See, and Moses was a mediator, and also like a judge, and also like a king, correct? All three combined. Then he says, and Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was over the host, that means the army, and Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was recorder. That is, keeping track of the money, keeping track of the gold, keeping track of the silver, all the treasures and everything. And Zadok, the son of Ahitub, and Ahimelech, the son of Abiathar, were the priests, and Seraiah, who was undoubtedly a Levite or a priest, was the scribe. So when I write the commentary, I'm going to point out they always had a scribe, and it was always a Levite. Now, we also find this, as I pointed out on that sermon, that whenever someone, a prophet or someone, was given the word of God, like David, when his first psalm, as I pointed out, who did he give it to? He gave it to Asaph, who was the priest, administering everything to where the Ark of the Covenant was in the tent that David made for them. See? So this is what we find. So it's really something when you understand it that God has used the same people down through history to finalize His Word. That's something. Now, let's also go back and remember, since we're coming up to Pentecost, where did the church start? At the temple. Why? Because that's where God placed His name. So that everyone would know that God did this. Now, if we're down in Galilee, as I've said in the past, no one would have believed it. And it certainly was not done, as some of the Mormons claim, over here in Central America. So what I'm going to show is that there were always scribes, and the scribes were the ones who were in charge of writing the day-to-day history. And when you read a summary of something and it says, and the rest of the acts of so-and-so king, are they not recorded in the chronicles of the kings of Israel or the kings of Judah? Yes. So, this tells us something concerning that. Now, let's shift to an entirely different thing. Not quite entirely different, but let me read this to you. This was sent to me from Phoenix. And this is, I don't have the date of the paper here. Let's see if we can find a date. 4/19/07. Istanbul, Turkey. Assailants on Wednesday slit the throats of three employees of a publishing house that distributed Bibles, the latest in a series of attacks targeting Turkey's small Christian minority. Now, the Bible, since we're here in Matthew 13, let's go there again. Let's just come back here and begin in verse 4, okay? They want to know when the end is going to be. All Christians always want to know when the end will be, which is fine. However, I think that the Scriptures would say, "Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord." It's a day of darkness and gloominess and death and mayhem. The most important thing is to make it into the kingdom of God. That's the most important thing. Prophecy is important, but it's secondary to that. And let's understand something very clearly. Most of the people who are going to be in the first resurrection did not understand very much prophecy. And the prophecies that we are blessed to understand is because God determined in the end time they would be understood. So it doesn't give us any merit badges for what we do to think that we understand things, because it's the Word of God and His Spirit that gives us understanding, see. So they wanted to know, verse 4, tell us when shall these things be, and what shall this the sign when all these things shall are about to be accomplished. If I said Matthew, I led you astray. It's Mark. Thank you. I'll give you time to turn there. Thank you. Well, at least I got the M-A right. Okay. And Jesus, in answering, began to say, be on guard lest anyone deceive you. And you know, take that one statement. Just that one statement alone. How has that been magnified down through history? Which tells us this. Any statements of prophecy, we do not know the intensity of it. And look at all the other warnings that come from that are written in the general epistles, that are written in the epistles of Paul. Because the deception will come from outside and from inside. And yet what happens? Many people willingly follow them. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. So you've got the deception in the world. You have the fall away and deception within the church down through time, right? Yes. And Revelation 2 and 3 tell us about these encounters that would be in time as well as all the other books of the New Testament. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled. That's been ever since the dawn of history, right? They're still going on. What's the biggest headline in the world today? The Iraq War. But there's also Afghanistan. There's also Sudan. There's also Somalia. There's also guerrilla wars in the Philippines and in Indonesia. For it is necessary for all these things to come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation shall rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom. That doesn't necessarily mean in war. That could also mean it financially. Going to rise up. You have trade wars. So these things are going to take place. There shall be earthquakes in different places. There shall be famines and disasters. Do we have all of those going on today? Yes, we do. Have we had them going on all during the time from Christ until now? Yes. All you have to do is read history. Then he says it'll reach a point. These things are the beginning of sorrows. Now, this happened just before the destruction of Jerusalem. It reached a fever pitch point until the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. And those were the beginning of sorrows. And what happened to the church after that? It was persecuted and scattered, right? Had a brief time in Asia Minor while John was still living, and maybe a short time after that during Polycarp and Polycrates, but that was about it. There were martyrdoms, there were killings, and so forth. Verse 9, but keep yourself on guard. So we have to guard ourselves, we have to guard against the world, we have to guard against Satan, guard against other people. For they shall deliver you up to councils and synagogues. You shall be beaten, you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a witness against them, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. But whenever they lead you away and deliver you up, do not be anxious beforehand, nor meditate on what you should say, but whatever shall be given to you in that hour, that speak. That's why we're to have the Word of God in our hearts and our minds. So we, and those days will come, and you can see with the hatred that is out there. Now let's just look at what happened in San Francisco when the news of the death of Jerry Falwell this last week took place. They were rejoicing. They were dancing in the streets. And all of the atheist socialist progressives were rejoicing and saying what an evil man that he was, talking against homosexuality and talking against abortion and talking against all these things. He was a mean and a nasty man, and he deserved to die. Well, now think of what's going to happen, because we're going to have to say what? God is going to take all power from all governments. He is going to destroy all idols. He's going to eliminate all religions of this world. And he is going to set up a world government, which is going to work. And we're going to be part of it. Now, you see, everyone gets excited about the conspiracies of Satan and men and all the agencies that he uses and all the people that he uses. But you see, when the world takes a look at God's, what they would call conspiracy against them, to take away their governments, to take away their nations, to take away their riches, just to give you a precursor of what we're to look for. Now, I'm also going to mention here that I'm getting material that I'm going to give some sermons that I'm going to entitle, Are You Ready for Third World America? Because it's coming. Without a doubt. Let's go on here. Then brother shall betray brother to death, the father the child. Children shall rise up against their parents and shall put them to death. And you shall be hated by all men for my name's sake. Anyone who pronounces the name of Christ will be hated with vitriol, with condemnation. And that's why there is going to be the martyrdom at the end time. It's going to be something. Now, granted, there's a lot of time between now and then. And that's why I'm going to give the series of sermons, Are You Ready for Third World America? Because we're going to be brought down, boom! Going to be a big drop. Economically, governmentally, and so forth. It's going to come. Now, I suggested in the past, why don't you go online and do a little search on what happened to Argentina? And one man went on and he said, boy, same thing happened in Argentina. They got rid of all the manufacturing jobs out of Argentina. Sound familiar? And then they speculated against the currency, and what currency traders like to do, if they see a currency that is going down, they what is called short it. And so what they do, they hedge and buy in advance a degraded value of the currency, which they anticipate in the future will depreciate to this point. And that's what they did in Argentina. And it's going to happen here. So you need to be ready. When I say get out of debt, I don't necessarily mean sell your house because you have a mortgage on it. You have to have some place to live. That's not the point. Get out of all other debt as much as you can. You can't do it overnight. You don't have thousands and thousands of dollars just to write checks and get out of debt. Do the best you can. Ask God to bless you. And He will. But it's going to happen. We're going to be hated. Then He says, but the one who endures to the end, that one shall be saved. So you see, just take these verses and do a study and how this is all magnified throughout the whole Bible. Now we have for us, let's come here to 1 Corinthians 10. We have for us some examples. Let's come to 1 Corinthians 10. And let's see what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. And here are some of the things that were examples. Now, we'll look at another example, you see. First of all, he starts out with those who came out of Egypt. And you know, the Greeks always looked down on the Jews and the children of Israel. And one of the greatest sins that the Jews do today is claim the whole inheritance of all 12 tribes. Verse 1. Now, I do not wish you to be ignorant of this, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea, and they all ate the same spiritual meat and they all drank the same spiritual drink, but they didn't have the Spirit of God. See? Because God said, oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep my commandments always. Now, we're going to look and see some things here in a little bit concerning that. But with many of them, God was not pleased, for their dead bodies were strewn in the wilderness. Now, these things became examples for us, so that we might not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Now, notice the summary of how he applies this. Neither be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither should we commit sexual immorality as some of them committed, and 23,000 were destroyed in one day. Neither should we tempt Christ as some of them also tempted him and were killed by serpents. Neither should we complain against God as some of them also complained and were killed by the destroyers. Now all these things were examples. All these things happened to them as examples and were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the earth are coming. So that is a statement given to the church then, but also a prophecy for us today, is it not? Yes. Are we not closer to the ends of the age than they were? Yes. Therefore, let the one who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Very important for us to realize. Now, that's for anybody, but in particularly to any ministers who are claiming wild and great positions. And I also have to give a sermon too on do you worship Herbert W. Armstrong? Because most ministers have not studied the Bible enough to get beyond Herbert W. Armstrong, and they haven't studied the Bibles enough nor understood what was really going on to realize that grave mistakes were made by Herbert W. Armstrong, which he repented of. but too many people worship him, and their level of spirituality is stunted to the level that it was of the basics that Herbert had. And he did not have it funneled into his head by God's Spirit, as Paul was taught in the wilderness for 3.5 years. He learned it from the Church of God Seventh Day. So let's go on. We need to clarify that. See. So he says here, concerning us, verse 13, no temptation has come upon you except what is common to mankind, for God, who is faithful, will not permit you to be tempted beyond what you are able to bear, but with the temptation he will make a way of escape so that you will be able to bear it. Now let's go to the next track. Now let's continue on here in 1 Corinthians 10. We'll cover a few more verses, and then we will go see a classic example, which is very important for us to understand about human nature and the process of what we call today, or the ideology of what we call today, rather, of humanism. And that ideology is, all people are good. If we can just get all people to do good things, then everything will be fine. And it'll never happen. Let's go on. I just thought of an anachronism for them. Atheist, socialist, progressive, which then is ASP. A poisonous snake. Atheist, socialist, progressive. Now let's continue on here and see. Verse 14. Therefore, beloved, flee idolatry. Now, idolatry can come in many, many different forms. You have to get away from it. I speak to those who are wise. You judge what I say. That is, if you are wise. If you are foolish, you can't judge what he says. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not the fellowship of the blood of Christ? King James has communion, which is an unfortunate translation. The bread which we break, is it not the fellowship of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one body and one bread, because we're all partakers of the bread, and that is Christ. And you can put in your notes there, John, the 6th chapter. Now he says, consider Israel according to the flesh, meaning that they were never converted. And if you go back and really read through every single verse of the Old Testament, all the way through, which now I am on my 5th trip through it for the Bible Project, you will understand they never had the Spirit of God. They were never offered salvation except for the prophets, some of the priests, and the kings, and that was about it. And we'll see why, which leaves a great question mark concerning Solomon, which we will cover here in just a bit. So he says, consider Israel according to the flesh. Are not those who eat the sacrifices partakers of the altar? Of course. What am I saying? Is an idol anything? That is, does it have any power inherent of itself? No, you got to carry it around. It can't talk, it can't move, can't do anything. It's made by the hand of man. And understand this. Understand this is an overwhelming principle of life. Life can only come from a higher form. Life can only be created by someone who has greater life. Now, I'm talking about human life. Let me give you an example. Can man make anything even equal to himself? No. Every machine, every device, every robot, everything that humans have devised has come from a greater intelligence than the thing that they made, correct? Yes. Now that applies to God. God made us. So if we make an idol, we make something which is nothing. This is what he's trying to say. But verse 20, but that which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God, and I do not wish you to have fellowship with demons. Because those are the powers behind the infiltrators into the church. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You can't mix things to have a pleasing thing for all people. It'll never work. You cannot be partaker of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Now, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? Well, quite powerful words. Let's go back and see a classic example. Now let's look at the example of Solomon. We know that God told David he couldn't build a house for him. But he said, your son, and it says that God loved Solomon, that he would build a house for me. And so, let's pick it up here in verse 3 of 1 Kings 3. 1 Kings 3 and verse 3. 1 Kings 3 and verse 3. And let's ask the question, could anybody have a greater start than Solomon? Outside of Adam and Eve. All right? Verse 3. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burned incense in high places. Now, and that is referring to Gibeon here, verse 4. Rather than having burnt offerings outside the tent where the ark was during David's time. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for there was a great high place, that's where the tabernacle was. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. And in Gibeon, now let's notice what happened to him. The Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give you. Now that's a blank check. Is it not? Biggest blank. Whatever you want. And Solomon said, now notice Solomon was humble at this point. And Solomon said, you have shown unto your servant David my father great mercy according as he walked before you in truth and righteousness and in uprightness of heart with you. You have kept for him this great kindness that you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child, and I do not know how to go out or to come in. That's something. We don't know how old he was. Perhaps he was, doesn't give us an age. He reigned for 40 years. It doesn't tell us how old he was when he died. But let's just assume 20. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered or counted for multitude. Give therefore your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and bad, or good and evil. For who is able to judge this, your so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And he said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for yourself long life, neither have you asked for riches for yourself, nor have you asked the life of your enemies, but you have asked for yourself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to your word. Lo, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like you before you, neither after you shall arise any like unto you, and I have also given you that which you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like you all your days. If, verse 14, and if you will walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David did walk, then I will lengthen your days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. He came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast for all his servants. Now then, let's see some more on this. He took over as king, conquered all the enemies and everything like that. Let's come to chapter 4 and verse 29. Chapter 4 and verse 29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the East country. That includes all of China and everything, you see. And all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men, than Ethan, the Ezrahite, than Heman, and Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all nations round about. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. He spoke of trees, from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. And he spoke also of beasts, of fowls, of creeping things, and of fishes. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all the kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom. So God fulfilled that. Now let's come to 1 Kings 8 and verse 54 after he offered this prayer, the dedication of the temple. Verse 54. What I want to do is highlight the things which we can say no one had a better start in life than Solomon. Verse 54, and it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose before the altar of the Lord from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. And he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord that has given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promise which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. The Lord our God be with us. As he was with our fathers, let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him to walk in all of his ways and keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments which he commanded our fathers. And let these my words, wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord, be near unto the Lord our God day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant, the cause of his people Israel at all times, as the matter shall require, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God, and that there is none else. Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and keep his commandments as it is this day. So then they dedicated the feast of dedication of the temple for 7 days. Then after that, they had another span of time that they went through the Day of Atonement. Then they kept the Feast of Tabernacles. And we come down here to chapter 9. Chapter 9 and verse 1. And it came to pass when Solomon had finished building the house of the Lord and the king's house and all Solomon's desire, which he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. Quite a thing. And the Lord said to him, I have heard your prayer and your supplication that you have made before me. I have hallowed this house which you have built to put my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And if, now notice in each case there is an if. And we need to realize that always, see. Likewise with us. If we are faithful, if we believe, all things are possible, etc., etc. So he says, verse 4, and if you will walk before me as David your father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do all that I have commanded you, and will keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David your father, saying, there shall not fail you a man upon the throne of Israel. But if, he gives the warning, just like today, you give warnings to people and they don't listen. Just a little aside. Let's just take one thing. One little eeny teeny thing. How many warnings and reports have there been that smoking causes cancer? Not only of the lungs, but in the body. Okay? How many warnings have there been that venereal disease destroys the heart, the mind, and also, as it says in the book of Proverbs, sends a dart through your liver at the end? Which is exactly what happens. But how many people refuse to listen? Though it's all right there. See, human nature is such that it deceives itself into thinking that these things won't happen to them. Oh, well, I can smoke. My dad smoked and he didn't get cancer, so therefore I can smoke and I won't get cancer. How do you know? Well, I know people that have played around. They never got venereal disease. How do you know? Maybe they didn't tell you. So here's the if. Okay. Second if, verse 6, but if you shall at all turn from following me, you or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes which I've set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel out of the land which I've given them, and this house which I have hallowed for my name I will cast out of my sight. And he did it how many times? Twice. And this house which I have hallowed for my name I will cast out of my sight, and Israel shall become a proverb and a byword among all people. Still going on today. The last phase of that is yet to happen. We'll talk about that later. Now, verse 8, and at this house which is high, everyone that passes by it shall be astonished and hiss and say, they shall say, why has the Lord done thus unto this land and to this house? And they shall answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold upon other gods, and have worshipped them and served them. Therefore has the Lord brought upon them all this evil. Now we'll look and see that happened. We know what happened here. After he had all the riches, all the wealth, all the gold, worldwide trading combined that brought him gold and silver and everything precious, and it was actually a tribute. They brought him tribute. poured into the country. But what happened? He got lifted up in his own vanity, didn't he? See, because the truth of any matter is this. It's not how you run the race that's important, but it is how you finish it. That's the truth of the matter. So you need to look at that with all your experience in the Church of God. It is not how the Radio Worldwide Church of God started. It is how it finished. It is not what they knew, because it all comes from God. It is what did they do with it when they forsook it. See? And always remember this. It is not who you are before God from your genealogy or from your position in life on earth. It is who and what you are before God that counts. That's what counts. See? Now, this is why I've said that I pray all the time that in my old age, now I'm going to be 73 here in 5 or 6 weeks. When did all the kings make their mistakes? They got old. Some of them made it right away, like Jeroboam, you know. But here's Solomon when he got old. Do you know what happened? Didn't listen to God when he said, don't multiply wives, don't multiply horses, don't go down into Egypt. He didn't trust God when he said, I will do this for you and that for you. No. 1 Kings 11. Now, we've covered this before. But I think it's profitable for us to cover it again. And all of those people who think that they can go out and flaunt God, turn their backs on His commandments, commit idolatry, commit adultery, commit murders, lie, cheat, and steal, and come into the house of God and say, you're God's people, you're just kidding yourself. It'll never work. But King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites of the nations concerning which God said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for they will surely turn away your heart after their gods. And Solomon clave to these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old. And remember the ifs. Every time when God appeared to him, he said, what? If. So when he got old, for it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, after Milcom, the abomination of the Amorites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, that just across from the Temple Mount on the west side, later called the Mount of Abominations. And for Moloch, the abomination of the children of Ammon, and likewise did he for all of his strange wives, which burned incense and sacrificed unto their gods. So what happened?
Once saved, always saved?
And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart turned away from the Lord his God, which appeared to him twice. And he commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. So you know what happened there. But also, what happened to all of the people? They also did the same thing. If the king does it, hey, is he not God's king? That's okay. Yes. So that's what they did. Well, let's come to 1 Kings 11 and verse 31. Now, he gave Jeroboam. He gave Jeroboam a chance, right? But did Jeroboam blow it? Yes, he did. So the prophet Ahijah, verse 31, said to Jeroboam, "Take 10 pieces, for thus says the Lord God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to you. But he shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I've chosen out of all the tribes of Israel." Now notice verse 3. "Because they." So as did the king, so did the people, right? "Because they have forsaken me and have worshipped Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, Milcom, the god of the children of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways to do that which is right in my eyes, and to keep my commandments and my judgments as did David his father." So it's all of them. Okay? Quite a thing. So the next 400 years is the rise and fall of Judah and the fall of Israel, because Israel never had a righteous king. Only Judah. You read it all the way through. This is examples for us that we don't do the same thing. Now let me tell you, it's going on. I got this book sent to me by someone. 7 Biblical Truths You Won't Hear in Church But Might Change Your Life. Now, this is nothing new. These are 7 biblical lies which you hear in Sunday-keeping church all the time, and it will destroy your life. And so this sounds like it's straight out of the cauldron of how to worship other gods that they followed back then. Chapter 4, the 10 commandments were not given to be kept. Chapter 6, trying to live for Jesus will only frustrate you. Chapter 7, prayer doesn't change God's mind. And so what it is? You just have a spiritual experience and say a couple little prayers in this book, and you're saved. Anybody can print anything. See? This is distributed by Harvest House Publishers. Same old thing. Just love God, do good, and do whatever you want.
This author, what is it?
The author, what is he? He's probably a freelance New Age Christian. An ASP. An atheist, socialist, progressive. Yes. Okay, now let's come to 2 Kings 17. 2 Kings 17. Okay.
17?
Yeah. This is about 300 years from Solomon's time, maybe a little less. But anyway, the reason that the 10 northern tribes were carried off into captivity, is given very clearly. So when a nation turns its back on God, they always bring penalties upon itself. That's exactly what's happening today. And that's why I'm going to bring the sermons. Third World America, are you ready? Everything is becoming more occult, more satanic, more destructive, more, how should we say, open, wild, perverted sex, markings, tattoos, ridiculous hairdos, splitting tongues, etc. They did it back then. Oh, and I recently saw on MSNBC where they have these, you know, they lure sex perverts to come to a house, and then they find out that it was set up by the television. Well, they've been recently showing some Indians from India and Pakistanis from Pakistan. Every nation, understand, please, sins grossly before God. And when Israel does, he corrects them. He also corrects the other nations. Please understand that. Now, what I want you to understand is this. They degraded themselves without the pressure of television. Now, with the pressure of television, we're going to accelerate it in all aspects. But pick it up here, 2 Kings 17 and verse 7. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and had feared other gods, and walked in the statutes of the heathen. I've got an article here that I'm going to read a little later. We are becoming a nation of pagan laws and pagan immorality by law of the heathen whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel and of the kings of Israel which they had made, and the children of Israel did secretly those things that are not right against the Lord their God. They built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. They set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. They burned incense in all the high places, as did the heathen before whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. They served idols whereof the Lord had said to them, "You shall not do this thing." Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah and against all the, by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, "Turn you from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers, which I sent to you by my servants the prophets." Now let me just say this in relationship to modern end time. Is the church of God so unpalatable to God as he spits it out of his mouth, that there is no longer any protection for the nation for the sake of the church? We need to ask that question. Because there are a lot of things going on in the church of God, especially, as I wrote in the last letter, arrogant men presuming high offices to themselves to rule over the people of God. And the people of God so willy-nilly and not knowing their Bibles and following men and worshiping men go right along with it. And I'll tell you one thing. God is going to judge both. And if you follow a man as a man who preaches to you in the Word of God things that are not true, and rules with oppression and intimidation and cowers you, and you put up with it, God's judgment's going to be upon you. And it's going to come. We're at a time where judgment is coming. We need to understand that. So they didn't hear. Okay? Verse 14. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks like the rock, like the neck of their fathers, and did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers, and his testimonies which he testified against them. They followed vanity, became vain, went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, and made them molten images, even two calves, made a grove, worshipped all the host of heaven, and served Baal. And I will show you that's exactly what's happening today when I get into the book, The Lost Spiritual World. What it is, they're diving deeply into demonism. And I think it is true. The more that people go after demons, the more that God releases demons out of the abyss. And they caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire. They used divination and enchantments and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And today, that is called reality TV. Now, let me just also say this. Brethren of God, the ministers of God, cannot live in the world like the world and come to church on Sabbath and think everything is fine. Because it's not. All you have to do is just read the warning there. Revelation 3, correct? You know, do you believe God? Do you believe His Word? Hey, that's what it gets all down to. Now, when I heard Ken G from Australia tell about everything that's going on in Australia with drought and with adultery and fornication and the war and the rising of the natives among them, and then I heard Norbert Bornert give his sermon at where he talked about what was going on in Canada, how up in northern Alberta the Chinese have bought all the oil producing sand, and they're producing oil there, taking it right out from the wealth of Canada, and how they have drought and disease and things like this. And then I look and see what's happening in America, and I look and see what is happening in Britain and in Europe. Israel is in deep trouble, and they are not turning to God. They are turning against Him. They are hardening their necks just like this. Verse 18. Think of this now. The Lord, who became Jesus Christ, and Jesus says all judgments given to Him, correct? And it says that the Lord God changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, correct? Listen up. Verse 18. Therefore the Lord was angry with Israel and removed them out of His sight, and there was none left but the tribe of Judah. Also Judah kept not the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the statutes of Israel which they made. And the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel and afflicted them and delivered them into the hands of spoilers until He cast them out of His sight. It's exactly what's going to happen here in the coming third world America. They're going to rise up, and they are going to let you know that you're hated. And in particularly, and it needs to be said, they're going to rise up against the Anglo-Saxons, who are the descendants of Israel, the white people, and they are going to come after them in great vindictiveness because this nation has turned its back on God. And you're going to wonder, why are these things happening? They're happening because you have followed lawless Protestantism, because you have followed the carnality and the lust of your own heart and minds. And it's happening because it is mounting up in a greater and greater and greater scale against God and against His commandments and against His truth. And yea, it's happening within the church of God that there are so many people out there believing false doctrines that it is incredible. So it's going to be something. And, you know, I'm not, if you're listening to this tape or this CD, please do not think I'm attacking you. I'm speaking strongly against the problems. And what is it that God says we need to do? We need to repent, right? Yes. All of us. We need to. Need to understand that. God loves us. He cares for us. But God is not going to, as we started, you know, you can't eat and drink of the cup of and table of demons and drink and eat of the cup and table of the Lord. It's just not going to work. See? That's what the whole Old Testament is to teach us. See? That's what God wants us to learn. That's why we have so many times in the epistles of James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Jude, all the condemnation against those who don't keep the commandments of God. Same way in the epistles of Paul. And then you get things like this that are absolutely incredible. This book, 7 Biblical Truths You Won't Hear in Church But Might Change Your Life. Absolute lies. Now, let me just also give you another warning here, too. Beware. We're going to be assaulted in the public and also in the church with a lot of New Age demonism. It's going to happen. Who is Satan after? The world? No. He's got them. Who is he after? The people of God. And what happens to so many of the people of God? They're asleep at the switch. Now, that's the whole problem. Now, people don't like to hear about Laodiceanism, but it is true. It is true. And God says what? God says repent. God says come back to Him. See? And so that's what the people in the Church of God need to do today. It doesn't matter what organization you're in. It's how do you stand before God. That's what it is. The ministers are going to give special account to God for all of their abuses against brethren, as I mentioned in the letter. But also, the brethren who got along with it and were the cattle and the sheep that were stomping down the good fodder. He's going to judge them. And the way he judges to remove people is false doctrine comes along and they believe it and they're gone. That's how he judges. See, because it's a test. Do you believe God or not? What is in your heart? What is in your mind? Where are you going? What are you doing? We need to be asking God every day, help us every day, God. Give us direction. Lead us. Guide us in the way that things need to be. We want to walk in your way. We want to love you with all of our hearts, mind, and soul, and being. And we want to do the things that are pleasing in your sight. And we can trust God that there's very little precious time left where we can do it in peace, where we can do it without fear, where we can do it without persecution. You know,
when they chase you from pillar to post and they persecute you, you're not going to have time to develop a relationship with God. You've got to already have it, because that's what's going to see you through, isn't it? Yes, it is. See? And that's what's so important. So, anyway, those are some good lessons for us. We hope and pray that God will hold back as long as He desires to, but we also need to be ready for the time when He doesn't. The overseas offices are Canada, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, Postal Code K6V5V2. For Australia, Biblical Truth Ministries, GPO Box 1574, Sydney 2001. New Zealand, Post Office Box 242, Waihi, Waihi 2981. Republic of South Africa, Post Office Box 2624, Wilroe, Wilro, Park, Postal Code 1731. United Kingdom, Post Office Box 8224, Whittam, Postal Code CM81WZ, United Kingdom.